So next year's conference will be the 7th and 8th of June. Okay, so it's always the week following or the weekend following Queen's birthday. That's kind of how we schedule it. So if you're ever wondering when our conference is going to be, just think, when's Queen's birthday? It's the Friday and Saturday following that, okay? So just put that in your diary for next time. Okay, if you'd like a receipt, they are, for those of you who asked for a receipt from Ian, they're at the back desk there, so grab him and he'll give you your receipt for conference. And those who want a certificate for professional development, they are at the back as well. Linda's put together a little certificate with a package there. So grab one if you want one. She'll sign it, put your name on it, and then you have that record for your, for those of you who need that for your records. And also, can I just encourage you, if you have not become a member of Chaplaincy New Zealand, you should sign up. Not looking at anyone in particular. Because, you know, this conference is made possible by our members. You know, we're a volunteer organization. We do what we do to support chaplains and promote chaplaincy. You know, there's no real financial benefit in that. We're trying to make it as affordable and doable for chaplains who, I know, often we're volunteers and it costs us to be chaplains. You know, we don't gain from it, which I think needs to change. And it's something we're trying to work on. And so we want to just really provide what we can. And the membership helps us do more as an organization. So it helps us grow. And there's benefits to being a member, obviously, but you'll benefit others, other chaplains, by being a member as well. Because we are still fledgling, sort of growing. We are growing. But yeah, we'd love to grow faster. So please support us by being a member. There are membership forms there, otherwise on our website, and that would be cool. I think that is all the notices I need to do. Okay, so we're going to hear from a few wonderful chaplains in their different contexts, and I haven't told them the order we're going to do it in, but Jackie, can I invite the wonderful Pastor Jackie Fuller to come up, and many of you know Jackie, as she is a lecturer at Alpha Crucis and runs the chaplaincy diploma through Alpha Crucis. And recently you've started becoming a prison chaplain and doing your chaplaincy ministry in the prison, which is a great step. So, yeah, would you like to share with us, Jackie?
I'd love to, yeah. Toward the end of last year, the Lord began to speak to me. You know, one of our pillars of chaplaincy is growth and development. And I'd done community chaplaincy work before in and through church. And so for a number of reasons, I think God was just trying to stir me up afresh, and I knew, and I was looking, I was ripe and ready for a new context. And at that time too, Matthew 25 kept coming again and again, and Isaiah 43. And all of you here will be so familiar with those two scriptures. Isaiah 43, see, I am doing a new thing. And do you not perceive it? It is, you know, it is springing up around you, and I'm, you know. And then, of course, in Matthew 25, the very least little thing that you do for someone, you do for Jesus. But, of course, the little bit that's quite terrifying is the end bit where it says, if you don't do, if you don't do one of those little, sometimes seemingly things, you don't do it to Jesus. And I'm telling you, that really put the fear of God in me. In a good way. And I was just like, okay, Lord. So went away to South Africa, had a lovely 6-week trip away, came back all refreshed, did my induction because I know a couple of people, one of our students actually was doing her placement there. That was fine for her, but not for me because I don't do prisons. I don't. Well, that was my heart. You know, we're so silly, aren't we? Well, I was. And so, as I said, because I know, you know, people already in the prison doing their placements there, I did my induction. I was just expedited. Everything happened so fast. Started in February, and I cannot believe my experience this year. I just, it's like, when I talk about it, I know it's kind of my, obviously a sweet spot thing, because I just get so excited. I get animated. I get more so. South Africans can talk quite in an animated fashion, but it just seems like I, I've just gone over the top because it's been such a joy and the most amazing experience next to getting saved, meeting my husband, getting married, like right up there. I really mean that. It's just kind of changed my life. Those men, I mean, I just walked into the prison that first Sunday morning. We do a couple of services in the different units. I've been in the drug unit and the self-care unit where they're ready to release them back into the community again. Last time I was there, it was more dealing with and helping and just connecting with some of them that were in remand. And the difference in the different units is quite amazing too. These ones are obviously a little bit fearful. They didn't know where they were going to go, what was going to happen to them. So they walked in and they were all stooped low. And then but by the time they walk out, it's so amazing to be able to encourage them. They walk out, their heads lifted up again, and they've got a smile on their face. And, just the most wonderful thing. But, yeah, so just in different stages of their prison life. And I only realized kind of around April that from that Isaiah 43 scripture, I'm in Spring Hill Prison, which is just south of Auckland. And, and I thought, oh, God, it was there all along. And I didn't really even see it. But, yeah, I just feel like a fish in water there. From the very first time I walked in there and just, started talking to them. The very next morning I woke up, they were the first thing on my heart. And I just prayed for them. And so I just, regularly pray for them and pray God's blessing. I visualize where they are. And just they are such, they creep into your heart in such an amazing way, which is just something I never expected. Like there's a prison full of 1,000 men, and all of a sudden, in a moment, you can be so concerned and caring for the men there, and just to be able to reconnect with them. We preach sermons. We've got a theme for the month, and so it's all kind of relevant to the men and where they're at and what will be really helpful to them. We connect with them. We, they come and they share things with you. And so, just a few little stories. One man from one of the islands, he came up and he came up on the altar. And that was more like one where they give their lives to Jesus or responding, to the message. And he just said tears. His face was all teary and that. And he just said, I left God in the islands, and he says, I've given him my life back to him today. And that was 6 years previous to that. And so just wonderful to be part of that. Another man came up to me the one time and he's got 1.5 arms. And so he kind of threw his arms up in the air and the little arm kind of, just shot up like that. And he was all, excited. And he said, oh, that was amazing. He says, I've been here 28 years. And he said, I've never heard anything like that before. And so it was just, and then he talked to me, and then he looked at me and he said, why are you here? He said, why would you be here? So he went from this to shocked that I would even be there. I said to him, because God wants me to be here and because I want to be here, And so now, and then I saw him again after that, because you don't know where you're going or who you're going to see, on any given Sunday. And, just so wonderful to just build a rapport and a friendship with them. What else? There's been a few different stories. Oh, one, the guy that's doing a mural, this beautiful, some of them are so creative, beautiful mural outside on the wall. And he says, oh, no, I don't come in. He said, I just stay outside here. He says, I don't come in. So I said, oh, okay, And so a little bit later, we're sitting there, we're having the service. And then, of course, who comes in? Walks around the side, goes and sits down, comes in and asks us. He says, yeah, he says, that was really good. He said, it was just, confirming what my caseworker or social worker or whoever is that had been, and putting into his life. He just confirmed what he'd been saying to me, what we'd been discussing together. So, it was just absolutely amazing. So it's just been the most wonderful experience going in there. It's touched my life in a real special way. And there's just then one other little thing that, the Matthew 25, you're very familiar with that scripture because it's one of our chaplaincy foundational scriptures, isn't it? And so the first time I went in there, I came home and I thought, wow, I experienced this amazing love more than I'd ever experienced before. And I thought, okay. Now, I've been a pastoral care for many years, so, that loving people and experiencing God's love is something that it's automatic as a chaplain, isn't it? You're supposed to live loved anyway. Anyway, it's incredible. That's so amazing. And it was just so tangent that I, it just threw me. The second time I went, and again, it was the same thing. This incredible love just welled up inside me. And I was like, God. So I'm kind of like knowing what's going on here, but you ask God anyway. And I said to him, I said, God, what is this? You know, because it's like so amazing, so awesome. Like I'd never experienced anything like this before. And then he said to me, that's how much I love the prisoners. And so I was like, oh, wow. And then, but it kind of made me do this little theological reflection too, because I thought, oh, so whose love have I been loving the other people with? And whose love, you know, and I kind of thought, you know, this is a little bit crazy. But, yeah, and so, and then, of course, a little bit of judgment came into it because we judge people, don't we? And so I had to just rid my heart of all, you know, because you can judge people for, you know. Now I know I don't judge, I just love. Because God can do the judging and he can do all that. They're doing their time. They're doing their time. They're paying for it already, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And yeah, so my conclusion with all that was that if I'm loving people with God's love in my heart and mind, and then the very least thing that I do for someone is I'm doing it to Jesus and he's appreciative of that, then it's kind of like this double love that's going out and coming back into you. And that's kind of the conclusion that I came to in a simple and profound way. And so, yeah. So and now I think, why didn't I go earlier? And now I wish I could go more often, and I probably will, and I could do a whole lot more there. But, yeah, so, you know, we're supposed to keep growing and developing and moving on and doing new things. So I challenge you. You know, if God speaks to you about something, doing something different, something new, or, you know, just go with it, because you'll probably wish you did it sooner.
wait. Yeah, would you just be able to pray for us for that imparting of that love?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love your children so incredibly much. You love our clients and the precious ones that you put across our paths and that we minister to. But Lord, just like St. Martin of Tours, he had that kind of like epiphany where he gave his cloak, he tore his cloak in half and he put half on that cold beggar on that cold winter night. And then you revealed yourself to him in such a special way. You showed him that he did that to you. Lord, we thank you that just again and again, chaplaincy work is not something that we can do on our own or manufacture on our own, in our own strength, but it's really something that you need to give us. It's that love, your love that sent you to the cross, that needs to just be in our hearts and lives in such a very deep way. And we thank you for the way you do love us. Give us a greater revelation. Open our eyes afresh and expand our hearts and the capacity to love people in a greater measure, in a greater way, in a deeper way, Lord, that those wellsprings of life can really bubble up inside of us and can really just show and spill out, Lord. You know, sometimes life, we get crushed, we get pressed around, but you are making that new wine out of us. And that joy and that enthusiasm can just bubble up afresh in our hearts and lives. Thank you for the love that you impart to us. And thank you for everything that we do for each one as we're doing it to you, Jesus. So if there are chaplains here feeling tired and weary and feel like they haven't been appreciated or haven't got a thanks, Lord, it's to you that they've done those deeds. It's to you that they have reached out. And so we thank you that they would just be so content in that. But thank you, Lord, for your love, just filling every heart and life, mine included, afresh every day and every time we go into the places where we minister. Thank you for the doors that you open for us. Thank you that we can go just willingly, taking your love, taking your life, taking your presence, taking the gospel message, Lord, for those of us who do have a freedom to give that in an open way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving your people, your sons and your daughters in our communities, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's what I love about chaplaincy ministry. You know, it can be in the community, it can be in a prison, you know, and the skills and the heart behind it doesn't change. And yeah, that's what hopefully we can illustrate this morning, is that, you know, if you've been thinking about going into chaplaincy, or you're in a chaplaincy and you want to maybe branch out, try something new, there's so much opportunity out there. Now, Lofi, would you come and share with us about your time as a tertiary chaplain? Lofi's been doing the Alpha Crisis Diploma and is in the tertiary environment.
Kia ora koutou, talo falava, and warmest international greetings to you all. Ile suafa o le tama, le alo ma le anganga pa ia, o te whatalo whatuai le pe ia maluma malu, wa mawhai o na whaatasi mai ile nei aso. E vi iai lona alofa ma lona angelelei. Now, I know we don't have any Samoan speakers in here, but I wanted to start off with something that I had to learn as part of my chaplaincy experience at MIT. So I will go back to where that fits in a moment. I just want to tell you a little bit about Manukau Institute of Technology. Most of you heard of MIT? Great. And I also want to acknowledge Peter, who is a chaplain at MIT. He's at our Pukekohe campus. And also Linda, who was at MIT before me. So, yeah, nice to see you guys. So MIT is based in Otara in South Auckland. It was established in the 1970s. The purpose of it is they want to get people into great jobs. And so to do that, they have a support system for the students. So chaplaincy is part of the student experience and success team. So, we're basically there to help them with their studies. If there's anything that's going on that's impacting on their studies, we're there as part of the support for that. And we are the spiritual people on campus. So that means it's not just about Christianity, which is actually one of the challenges of the role. The student makeup, 49% are under 25, so it's a very young student population. About 37% are Pacific and 18% are Māori. So they have a focus on Pacific and Māori for those reasons and the young people. And one of the reasons I came into the role was because of my ethnicity, and also was, I guess, a way to try and connect specifically with Pacific, which is part of what I'm tasked to do. So I'm a volunteer chaplain. I'm on campus once a week on a Wednesday, usually there from 10 until 2. There are two campuses that I go from, so there's a North Campus and South Campus. I spend 2 hours on each one, and my day can vary. Some days I'll go in there and I might be doing some paperwork, and I'll go around and see how the staff are, and then bang, I'll be praying for someone. Within, you know, sort of 15 minutes of being on campus. Other times we do a lot of events, and I think because of the attention span of the students, we do events because they're high intensity, and it's a good way to get the key messages out to the student body in a short space of time. So the events always involve music and food. And it's just a good way to attract the students. So being a chaplain there, I guess you've got to be used to that kind of environment. If you walk through the area where the chaplaincy office is on South Campus, there's music playing. And they just do want that kind of, I guess, casual environment where the students can come and get the support that they need. I guess going back to my little Samoan speech that I said at the beginning, so one of the things that I was asked to do as a chaplain was to do the opening and closing prayer for the Pasifika Education Centre. Now, they are a separate organisation and they're based on North Campus at MIT. So I guess one of the things, being a chaplain at MIT, you've got to be ready at short notice to pray or a formal event. This was the AGM, and even though I am Samoan, I am not as connected to my culture and I do not speak the language fluently at all. So to bring honour to the occasion, I knew that I would have to say something in Samoan. And because I'm Samoan, it would have looked bad, but I was representing the chaplaincy. So I asked my father to help me with that little bit that I said at the beginning. And then my mother wanted her turn as well, so she said she's a really good prayer warrior, so she wrote out a prayer for me in English that she told me I had to say. So it was a real family affair. And I even dressed up for the occasion in the traditional Samoan pulutasi, which again for me is out of my comfort zone to do that. So, you know, I guess I just wanted to highlight that with chaplaincy, you know, I know God has really taken me out of my comfort zone, even though it's something that I, on the outside, it looks like I should be comfortable with, but I wasn't. So I know had that not come up, I wouldn't have actually stepped down and done that. So, you know, I just love how God has really, I've had to have so much faith in him to lead me where he wants me to go in this role. Some of the other highlights, you know, one time I'm like on North Campus, I just introduced myself to some students. I told them what the role is, and I said, I'm going to be in that room over there. And so I went in, and I just started praying. I said, Lord, show me who needs you today. Within 2 minutes, I had one student come in, and she said that she had been praying all night. She'd been up till 6 in the morning asking God to help in her situation. And she said, when I said to her, you know, I'm a chaplain, this is what I do, she said she knew her prayer was answered. So we went into a time of ministry with her. Some really, I guess, some really traumatic things that she had gone through. But just grateful to God that he allowed that opportunity. So once we had finished, there was another student that was also sitting with her. She came in 2 minutes later. So then we were having a session with her. So I think, you know, the unexpected God moments have been really a blessing to me to be able to minister out to people, but also just to see what God's doing for them as well. So that's been really a really nice thing to do. The other thing as well, for me, I love worship. I'm a worshipper. So, again, if there's any opportunity for music, then I go with it. So one morning I was speaking to the staff and I said, why don't we do something like, a gospel hour or something at lunchtime. So within 2 hours, we had an event planned. We had a notice on Facebook, and we had the event 2 weeks after that. And we just had really good feedback. You know, music is universal, and it can just speak in ways that sometimes a message can't. And so I think just to get the feedback that we got from the students, we had international students that were filming, we had a local gospel group, filming them and showing their families back home. These are the kinds of things that we do here at MIT. This is how they look after us. So that was really nice. Again, just all glory to God for allowing that idea to come through and to come to fruition. Just a couple of the challenges in the role. We are volunteers, so we only have one paid chaplain, and we're not on campus the whole day. So there may be things that happen on campus that we're not around for. So those tasks may go to other areas of MIT that may not be the best fit, but because they're it and we're not there, they take those. So sometimes there are things that we don't hear about until it's already happened. Also, because it's so spread out, I go from two different campuses. They're about a 5-minute walk from each other. I haven't even gotten around to every single area on campus. And I've been there, I'm in my second year now of being there. It's spread out. And I guess the other thing is a lot of people don't understand what chaplaincy is. So we do spend a lot of time just, one, letting them know it exists, and then trying to explain what it means. And they often ask me, are you like a pastor? Are you a minister? No. So there's a lot of that. And another challenge I just thought of was, because it's not just about your own faith, so sometimes you do have to reserve your faith. I know some of you that are in other areas would be familiar with that. I had a student, Hindu student, that wanted to do Tibetan meditation. And I had to do a theological reflection on this because I felt like I was helping them advance in their faith, and I felt like, what does that mean for me as a Christian? And I prayed about it, and God said to me, if you don't connect with this person, how are they even going to start to know about me? If you shun them, how are they even going to start to know about me? You need to connect and be in relationship. So I did. I helped the student, and he put on his meditation, and he had some students come to that. And afterwards, I saw him with the other students. They didn't know each other, but they were standing in the car park talking to each other, and And I felt like the Lord said to me, that is the reason why, you know, you need to connect in, because it's all about community. And that for these students, they're starting a little community, and this is going to help them through. And at least you've got a foot in the door, because they know who you are. So, so there's challenges, there's been highlights, but all in all, I'm enjoying the time there, learning so much, and just really grateful for the opportunity. Thanks, everyone.
So true, isn't it? Yeah, it's people will know that we're followers of Christ by how we love each other, isn't it? That love that comes from. And finally, just Ray, would you like to come and share with us? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really want to see more of me? Well, I'm Ray. That was my twin brother up there in the worship team, the black sheep of the family. I'm married to Linda, who you all will know when you registered and stuff like that. And she's, good grief, she sat down. she's a Kiwi, I'm Welsh. I've got two daughters who live in the UK. I've been in Waiuku for 12 years, and for most of that time I've been at Cornerstone Christian Church, who are a huge support for everything I do, I have to say that. I trained through Alpha Crucis, got my diploma in Christian Ministries chaplaincy. I have to say, if you're thinking about being a chaplain, or if you are a chaplain, I would recommend the course, because I couldn't do what I do without that backing. It's been, and the follow-up backing and everything that's there. So I would encourage anyone thinking about that. Right. Well, I've got various chaplaincy places. I'm chaplain at Waiuku Medical Center, at a men's refuge down at Kingseat, and I work a few hours a week for Vitae as a support person. And actually through that, it's been really good. It's opened doors. I've recently done some SEMA critical incident training, which, again, is just another string to your bow that if anything turns up, you're there. So, you know, just every bit of training you can get. I mean, like yesterday, Richard Black, that was – I've heard it before, but it was great to go through it again. Right, well, I really like to concentrate on my placing down at the refuge down in Kingseat. How I got the placement was quite interesting. I was actually working with a guy down there, because I also worked for Christians Against Poverty, who we were getting out of debt. And so I, in that interim period, I also decided, okay, I'm going to have a go at this, taking on this chaplaincy thing, you know, so you never know what it's going to be or anything like that. And I thought, I'm just going to go in there and see if I can do my internship there. So I got it the van, went in. I thought, nah, they won't want a chaplain down here. I mean, the guy that runs it is an atheist, you know, so what would they need the chaplain? But I still got the prompt, go back in. So I went back in, sat down. Within 10 minutes, we're talking about God and all stuff like that. And so I said, okay, let's go for it. Would you like me to do my internship here? And he just said, man, we've been looking for somebody for a year. So there we go. Let's see what happens. I go down there Mondays and Wednesdays, and we do church, which is pretty organic. That can mean anything. I take coffee down, we have biscuits, I hang around, we just chat, take them to Wins when they need to go to Wins, take them to the Sally Armies if they need a food parcel, and it's just being there. I mean, it really is, there's no formula, it's just creating relationships, and sometimes they can be fleeting because they're there 1 minute and the next minute they're gone, But well, are you gone over that? Yeah, it's well, substantially it's a men's refuge that has been going for quite a few years now. At the moment, they're actually it's emergency accommodation as well. So we have got a family there, and there's also some ladies there as well. It's not like anything that you can imagine. It's totally it basically runs itself. So you know the men, it's a community. It's not it's an organic community. It's really an interesting place. They're all it's all homeless for many reasons. Homeless through circumstance, addictions, whatever you want to think about. You know, that's why they're there. And it's a place of hopefully mending. But like I said, you know, it is what it is. Some people come, some people go, and you've just got them for a short time sometimes. So I'd like to give you just a couple of illustrations of the sort of things that happened to me during that time. When I first started there, you're there with all the zeal of being a new Christian and going to put the world to right and all this sort of stuff. And I remember sitting down with one guy and he poured out his heart to me and said, you know, oh, they're accusing me of this and they're accusing me of that. And all my empathy came out for him and, you know, it was tears shed. Went back the next week and found out that everything he said he hadn't done, he did. So me and my righteousness, I thought, how can you dare do that to me? You know, I'm the God person in this place and this guy is lying to me. And, you know, there was a while I couldn't even look at him. That's how ridiculous it is, the judgmental stuff. But here's the importance of supervision. Sat down with my supervisor, who is in here somewhere. I won't embarrass her. She's already embarrassed. That's okay. So we sit down now, and in my righteousness, I said, you know, this guy had poured out my heart to him, and he lied to me. And she just said one sentence to me, why wouldn't he? Yeah, well, why wouldn't he? This guy had been basically looking after himself since he was 11. His brother and him basically just looked after themselves. They had no parents or anything like that. And how do you survive in that situation without lying? Being able to survive. And that's all it was. Survival instinct. That's all it was. And that one sentence, why wouldn't he, changed everything for me. Changed everything. We can't judge anybody. We're all that close to where these people are. You know, they're just people. Excuse me. And then there was another time. It's really breathtaking how the Holy Spirit can get to a man's heart. One day I was there and there was a guy wandering around and his brain had been basically fried by pee. And he was wandering around babbling and doing all sorts of things. And actually, he was about to be picked up by mental health because he was in a bad way. And what you do? How can you minister to somebody that's not even coherent? And so he's walking towards me. And I just put my hand on his shoulder and I just said, God loves you. And in an instant, he was lucid. And he just looked at me and, excuse the language, but he said, even after all the crap I've done. But then he sunk back into where he was. But for that moment, God had touched him. God had just cut through everything and spoke to that man's heart. It's quite amazing. And then just the other day, which to me is the essence of the presence ministry and and earning the right, which we all know about, you know, training this presence ministry, being there consistently. There was a guy there who had been evicted because he'd been violent, and that's one thing they won't have is violence. He'd been sleeping rough for a couple of days, so he was there. He was an ex Mongrel Mob member. He'd done some pretty bad stuff in his time. He'd actually stolen off the Mongrel Mob, so I'd taken some beatings for that. So you can see what sort of guy this guy was. And so he had nowhere to go. So I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just drive you into Wins and we'll see if they can get some emergency accommodation for you." And on the car, we were traveling. This guy, Manor, used to putting the face on, you know, the look. He just broke down. He broke down in tears and sobbed and said, "How have I come to this? How did I get here?" He was a baby, like all of us. But it's not all like that. We've had some, you know, we get the guys come, we go down on a Sunday, pick up some of the guys, you know, there might be one, there might be none, there might be four, who knows. A few months back, a couple of them came down for an altar call. And within a week, they had jobs. You know, that's the way it is. Who knows? I'd just like to say, just to finish, that we all carry the Spirit of the living God in us. In every situation, the healer, the redeemer, the restorer, the peacemaker, the advocate, and the comforter. And as Lloyd said yesterday, it's a privilege. Thanks.
Yeah, it's an amazing ministry, isn't it? Who feels privileged to be able to do that and to sit with people and to share the love of God. And to be genuine and real. That's what I love about chaplaincy. You know, we get to be so real and meet real people with real needs that God loves, regardless of whatever circumstance they are. You get to see through all the crap and just see, yeah, a person, a child of God. And really explain that well, Ray. All right. We're going to have morning tea and get refreshed and have a cup of tea. And then when we come back, we're going to have the wonderful Dr. Sean Dutoy. He's going to share with us. So yeah, it's all good. Well, yeah, bless you guys.